With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
You know, that injury bug is going through the league. Brown's got healthier this week. Then Denzel Ward ends up limited with a groin injury. What do you know about his status on Sunday?
Well, we'll find out today. I anticipate that they're going to list him as questionable because it looks like that injury occurred during practice yesterday because, as you mentioned, he popped up on the injury report, wasn't on there earlier in the week. So my guess is that he'll be listed as questionable, and that would be somewhat unfortunate because, as you also said, they started to get healthy. They were supposed to get three guys back this week in Mack Wilson, Kevin Johnson, and Greedy Williams.
And you got Kevin Stefanski, who's scheduled to talk to the media, coming up a little bit later on today. Is that one of those injuries that we might attribute to the preseason? Is a groin injury something we might attribute to no preseason and not really being able to get it going?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, soft tissue injuries are usually related to training regimens of some kind, and all these guys put in the work. There's no question about that. As we've talked about, the resources that come with working in that building, you're talking the meals and the access to the training, medical, strength and conditioning staff, and things like that. So I don't necessarily attribute Denzel's injury to the lack of the preseason. Comes with the territory. We see soft tissue injuries in normal years all the time. But obviously with the rash of injuries that have just hit this league, it's very difficult not to draw a correlation, Ken.
Darryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, joined us on the hotline. It's only been two games, and I certainly didn't want to overreact to the Baltimore loss, even though I wasn't obviously thrilled with it. What do you think of Kevin Stefanski as the Browns head coach? Can you see any kind of an identity being established by him?
Well, first, I want to give you credit for saying that you don't want to overreact, and you did it with a straight face. So kudos
to you. What's it, Darryl? What's that supposed to mean?
You can't see it.
What's that supposed to mean?
You can't see his face.
Oh, Darryl, I want to know what is that? What, do you got to take shots at me now? That's what you're going to do?
As a matter of fact, Anthony, yes.
Okay,
yes,
fine. Why?
Here we go.
I mean, you're the guy who's doing a pat on the back champion's pose, I told you so, on the Monday following the Ravens opener.
Yeah, well, because I did. I told you so.
Well, and then what happened? Didn't hear you after Cincinnati.
And what did I say? It should be vastly improved. And what happened? They were vastly improved. I'm two for two.
Oh, my God. Anyhow, what do you think of
Darryl
Stefanski?
Darryl one, Anthony zero.
Okay. What do you think of Stefanski so far?
I think Kevin's, overall done a fairly nice job. You know, we've talked about the offseason and the difficulties that he encountered as a first-year head coach. Certainly not the ideal setup or ideal situation for him. And even with that, Baltimore loss, I think what was impressive was how they responded in such a short amount of time. And I think Stefanski deserves a tremendous amount of credit because the offense was night and day. There was night and day, improvement and difference. And granted, the Bengals aren't the Baltimore Ravens. And I am curious with this defensive front that Washington comes to town led by Chase Young, the number two overall draft pick. They got 11 sacks. I am interested to see how Baker and this offensive line and this running game looks against that front. And can they replicate that formula that they were able to establish against the Bengals, where the run set up the pass Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry both talked about yesterday their acceptance and understanding that they've got Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb to lead the way offensively, and they don't necessarily have to carry the water. But, so far so good, I think, for Kevin. And again, I am very curious to watch this game Sunday because I think it's going to be yet another barometer to give us a feel of just, you know, what kind of a football team, especially on the offensive side, we're looking at this year.
Oh, they still had pressure. Washington still had pressure on Kyler Murray. He was just able to scoot out of there. I thought they had pressure, at least early, and then I think they kind of rolled over in the second half when things started to really come off. But they had pressure early. That secondary, though, boy, they had a nice game against Philly in the second half, and then the wheels came off last week against Arizona. I think this, though, is an opportunity for Baker Mayfield to put up a really nice game. I'm just hoping, and I think Lime is too, we want to be able to say great things about Baker Mayfield, but there's always that one pick. There's always that one interception where you go, can I have one game where it's like, give me two touchdowns, no picks, let's move on.
He's got a streak going dating back to last season, 8 straight games in which he's thrown an interception, and over that span, I think he's thrown like 11 interceptions, and you're right. I mean, and he broke it down earlier this week when he was asked about it, and I thought it was great the way he handled it. Typically when he gets asked those type of questions in his first couple of years, he's not real thrilled with answering those type of questions. And I thought he really handled it well this week. He explained what he saw and what he was trying to do. Alex Van Pelt yesterday, though, to your point, Ken, made a great point. He said, hey, you know what? We're still learning each other here. And one thing that I'm trying to teach Baker right now is that even if we have a shot play called, which is, you know, the case against Cincinnati, you don't have to take the shot if you don't think the shot is there. Go ahead and check that sucker down, get the completion, pick up some yardage, positive play, move on to the next one. Luckily for Baker, that interception ultimately did not end up being a turning point within the football game. The Browns were still able to maintain control and order and come away with their first win of the year. But, Van Pelt said, he thinks that streak's going to end pretty soon. And to your point, Ken, hopefully that streak ends this Sunday.
Dale Ryder, our Browns beat reporter. I want to talk about Odell Beckham. Had a really nice performance in game 2. Should have even been more, considering how often he was held, interfered with, some obvious calls that he did not get the respect in that game. But overall, got that separation and looked like the Odell that, quite frankly, we've been waiting since week 2 last year. He said yesterday, the numbers probably aren't going to be there for him this year. Were you surprised to hear him admit that?
No, because he's been, the one thing about Odell, Anthony, is he's been very honest and candid when we talk to him. He's one of my favorite guys to listen to every week because he always has something to say. He always has something meaningful and worthwhile to say as well. And boy, all those people that wanted to say that Odell was washed after week 1, they're looking pretty stupid these days. I vehemently disagreed with that notion. And if he got held on one, the guy had a fistful of jersey for about 10 yards. And I still have no idea how the official missed that. He was staring right at it. I don't know how you missed that call, but he did. Thankfully, it wasn't a pivotal point in the game that swung momentum in a negative direction for the Browns. But, and Jarvis echoed it as well, and that goes back to the understanding that, hey, you got two guys that can win the NFL rushing title in that backfield that can basically carry the load for us. Our job is when the ball does come our way, we got to catch it, and we got to make the most of it. Got to make the plays that are there to be made. Crying about touches and opportunities and that's just not the way to go within the team concept. We understand our roles. When the ball comes our way, it's our job to go ahead and make plays. And, that's quite frankly the mature and correct way that, they really need to be looking at that situation. Because when you look at this offense, the strength really is the running game. And that's nothing against Odell and Jarvis, who have a combined 8 Pro Bowls between them and a ton of 1,000-yard seasons between them as well. It's just the reality of, I think, what this young offense needs to do, especially early in the season, while it's getting its bearings. Hey, run the football. And, you know, when the run game isn't there, air it out.
Does this have to be a statement game for Myles Garrett?
I don't know that it needs to be a statement game. It was funny. I saw a clip on Twitter last night of Kevin Stefanski mic'd up during that Bengals game and right before that strip sack. And I'm assuming, editing can be funny sometimes, but I'm assuming that the editing was done chronologically and that, but right before that strip sack was shown, Stefanski's on the sideline saying, "Come on, 95. Need you to get home. Need you to get in that boom." Myles gets home, strip sack, whatever. So I don't know if this is a statement game, Ken. I think what they need is Myles Garrett to be a consistent disruptor and game changer. You know, I think that's the next level for Myles Garrett's career. He's got the talent. He's got the statistics behind him. But unfortunately, a lot of those sacks haven't come at moments to change the game. And to me, that next elevation for him to join, the J.J. Watts and the Aaron Donalds of the world is for him to make those game-changing plays the way they do on a consistent basis. And to his credit, last week against Cincinnati, made a game-changing play. Hopefully this week against Washington again, he can make another game-changing play.
Well, Darryl, and the reason I ask you so much about that is because, they're playing against Chase Young. People are going to pay attention to him on Sunday because he went to Ohio State. Obviously, there's a lot of fans there. And they're going to make comparisons. And Lyman and I both thought that he played pretty well last Thursday. The first series, he was basically missing, but everything else, I thought he was great.
Right.
And there were a lot of people saying, no, you guys are overrating him. He is not what he's supposed to be. They're counting the dollars. They're counting the sacks. And I guess that's the name of the game. Like, you get paid for your sacks, and still there's nothing in that category right now.
Well, he's around, just off the top of my head, he's around like 32 sacks in less than 40 games.
Oh, they want to talk this year. They wanted sacks this year. I mean, he's what? He's only 2.5 from behind Reggie Camp for the most of this first 4 years, I think it is.
Yeah, I mean, he's off to a phenomenal start to his career, and especially, and I understand the missed time, especially last year, those 6 games all on him. But Ken, considering the time that this guy has also missed on the field, right? The numbers are there. Okay, to me, I think the fair, if people are going to criticize Myles Garrett, to me the fair angle to take is bags Ben Roethlisberger a couple times, forces turnover, Browns get themselves back in the game, force overtime. Those type of plays, when the game is on the line, third quarter, Browns couldn't punch it in, they got the Bengals pinned deep, what's he do? Gets the football right back for him, bang, offense goes out there, punches it in, gets the separation you want to see on the scoreboard against Cincinnati, game-changing play. That's what we're hoping to see is not only he continue to pile up those sacks, but those sacks come at critical times within the game. And then I think he's going to start getting that love that the Aaron Donalds and J.J. Watts and Chase Young even is already starting to get. I mean, Chase Young's got, I think, 2.5 sacks, 4 quarterback hits, something like that in the first couple of games. He's really announced his presence, no question about that. Don't want to take it away from him. But I think Myles Garrett's off to a very, very strong start. And the Browns did the right thing by giving him that $125 million contract extension, because we're going to look at that in a couple years, Ken, and that's going to be a bargain, because these contracts are going to keep growing as these guys come up for deals.
On the other side, is Olivier Vernon a wash?
Ooh.
He paused. He says he is. There you are.
I did not say, there you go.
Yep, that's
needs
what
to
you
get,
think.
Needs to get healthy, you know. Unfortunately, got hurt at the end of last season. Here we are, start of the season, he's hurt again. It's hard to contribute when you're not on the field. And, you know, I'm not blaming him for injuries, but, you know, it is the reality, right? It's hard to contribute when you're not on the field. So I'm not going to say that Olivier Vernon washed. I will say it's unfortunate that the injury bug has hit him recently and he's not able to contribute on the field.
Daryl, I'm supposed to ask you about your hair, by the way. I'm not on Instagram. People are. You're doing different things with your hair. What's going on? Tell us. This is a new year, new Daryl? Is this what we're seeing here?
What's wrong with my hair?
No one's saying no. Daryl, no one's saying there's anything wrong with your hair. No one said anything was wrong. They just said, Ken, ask him about his hair. He's doing some different things with his hair right now.
It is 2020. I'm not in public as much anymore. It's cleaned up. It's not just like growing out all over the place, at least on the sides and the back. I did get a haircut last week. But, yeah, I'm letting it grow out a little bit, get a little length on there, see what it looks like, you know. Maybe I can cover my face, people wouldn't complain about that. So,
Come on, Daryl.
Just, having a little fun with it. It's 2020.
Are hard parts still in? The hard part?
I don't even know anymore. I at this point, I'm just happy to have any hair.
I'm happy to share, Lima. It's kind of brown. It doesn't match, but, I got
one.
That's the one thing I have going for me. I have a full head of hair. I haven't gone gray yet, and I'm pretty confident that I'm going to have a full head of hair for life.
All right. Well, that's sensual. Yeah, I mean, gosh, you're in your 40s now, so it probably should be there. So,
little champion pose. Right. So that's two on Lima this morning.
There he goes. Oh, champion's pose. He did champion's pose on you, Tone. Oh, my God. Daryl, we thank you very much for the time. All the best.
You got it. Enjoy the game this weekend, guys.
Daryl Ryder, champions posing during the show, brought to you by Scheiman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Lima, stone silent on the other end.
Well, I just didn't know if I was allowed to ask a question. I was just making sure. I think I got one in there.
Why is it on me?
I started reading.
Why is it turned on me?
Darryl started reading that new Jason Cole book.
No, you didn't. You were sending me pictures of people messing around with guns. That's what you were doing, and we're going to do that.
I thought I heard We Will Rock You at one point.
You did.
What are you doing? Okay.
Yeah. That's the one. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
All right, we'll break this down. We come back. 216-578-0092. And also, the Indians are still fighting for home field advantage. And yes, it does matter, folks, and we'll tell you why next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.